This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Here's what we have on tap for this hour. We're going to talk about this new poll that's out showing Americans warming to mass deportation. We'll deal with that.
We'll deal with the debt, the economic news. That's bad. We'll try to get to a bunch of emails. All that, so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget at all. You can email the show, and you should, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's talk. Maybe a hard talk to hear, but let's talk. Power versus majority once again. There's a poll out today. Axios ran with the story. It was actually a Harris poll, though, if I remember right. It's a poll. And what's the poll say? Well, here's the title of the story. It says, exclusive poll, America warms to mass deportations. Oh, okay. All right. That sounds good. It's certainly right. We have to have mass deportations. We can't save the country without them. You can't just import 15 million people in 4 years and save a country. You can't. We have to have them. So that's good, right? And we even have union guys are coming out, citing this as the reason they're voting Republican. You hear this guy?
In the past, we are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
Okay. And so I've seen a lot of people celebrating today over this poll, and here's the numbers of the poll. 51% of the general public supports mass deportation. 51%. Just let me repeat that number. 51%. Broken down by ethnicity, 56% of whites, 45% of Latinos, 40% of blacks. 68% of Republicans, 46% of independents, 42% of Democrats. Boomers, 60%. Gen X, 53%. Millennials, 48%. And Gen Z, 35%. Okay. So, a majority, 51% of Americans support mass deportation. Okay? Well, let's just deal in reality here. Majority and power are different things. We talk about it all the time on the show. Majority and power are different things. In fact, let's pause on that because this is getting a lot of play today. Maybe you've seen this. This is a construction worker. He caught a quick interview on TV. He's in Manhattan. It's a construction worker, asked about Trump, Biden.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
Wow. No, it's turning. It's Trump's turn. What's your message to Biden? Beep you. Okay. Construction worker in Manhattan. Where do you think he lives? Does he live in Manhattan? Oh, I have no doubt most of the construction crew that they're all on the Trump train. That doesn't mean Manhattan's on the Trump train. And the people who hold the levers of power in Manhattan, they're not going to join the Trump train. When it comes to illegal immigration, this goes back to the Cloward-Piven strategy. You can go look that up if you'd like. A couple of street communists, well, never mind, a couple of elite communists, professors, and they really, really, really hated America, like many college professors do, like, frankly, most of them do. But they really struggled with something. In fact, this is the same thing the Soviet Union struggled with for ages. How can you bring America down? Because let's pause for a moment and just admire America. America is so insanely wealthy. people don't appreciate how crazy the money situation is in this country. Our poor people have smartphones and air conditioning and refrigeration in this country. And I know you're thinking, wow, thanks, that's a lot. Man, for other countries around the world, poor people don't have anything. They're living in a ditch somewhere. There's an open sewer running down the street in their town. In America, you got running water, toilets that flush. Crazy wealth in this country. And the Soviet Union, those dirty commies, they wanted to bring America down. We wanted to bring them down to prove that freedom is better. They wanted to bring us down to prove that communism was better. But man, it was a nightmare for them. How do you bring down a $20 trillion economy? How do you bring down a country whose free market system has brought so many out of poverty? It's wealthy. They can just make so much stuff. David, the natural resources, how would you ever take down America? It's hard. Gosh, it's borderline impossible. Well, you have to find a way to do it from within. And there are two things that can bring down any nation of any size and have done so many times throughout history: debt and unchecked immigration. Debt and unchecked immigration. You can't sit and lob missiles at America if you're the Soviet Union and bring it down. But what you can do is inject a contaminant, a virus inside of America, let it grow, and then watch it burn. The Cloward Pivot strategy was by communists, and it was designed to overwhelm America's systems, overwhelm America's financial systems, medical systems, education systems. And one of the main ways you do that, on top of all the entitlement programs, is illegals. You allow them to pour into the country. And so they have spent decades doing that, dumping as many illegals into the country as possible. But wait, it actually gets worse. It gets deeper than that. How could they get away with it? Okay, so some dirty professors wanted to burn the country down. Why would we let them? Why didn't someone stop them? Well, America's Democrat Party was quickly consumed with immigrant fervor. Why? Not because they gave a crap about, some people from Mexico picking the crops. They cared about power, and they understood these new arrivals can be a source of power. So if the Republican Party's stance is nobody comes here, but our stance is, yeah, come here. Yeah, bring all your friends. Yeah, I don't even care if you love the place. Well, you're going to get more and more support. So this goes way back to the 60s, the Immigration Act, everything, pouring in illegals. But then so many other entities outside of basic communists, so many other entities have realized how profitable this can become. Remember I told you the story before, it's a while ago, about me running for Congress in Arizona? So I get out of the Marine Corps. I haven't told you in a while. I'm not going to go into the whole story. I get out of the Marines. I go back to working construction. I start listening to more politics on the radio because I'm working out of town. I'm reading more political books than I ever had. I get mad about Obama. I decide I'm going to run for office. I'm going to run for Congress. I'd never run for anything. I'd never been politically involved. I'm going to run for Congress. I've had enough. I'm going to get out there. I'm doing it. Screw these people. It's me. I know you're going to find this very, very shocking. I am hard right. Hard right. And I didn't come around to being a border hawk yesterday. I always have been one. That's how you preserve a country. Strict immigration enforcement. Strict borders. You preserve your country that way. So that was my policy stance. Well, the Republican donor class in my area, in Arizona, they were interested in me, kind of feeling me out. I was the leader for a while before they threw in their establishment guy, who I ended up beating in the primary. But before he got on board, they were looking around and wondering, okay, who is this upstart guy? He's running for Congress. What do we think about him? Is he on our side? Is he not on our side? And so I find out they want to sit down. They want to meet a couple of these guys. They want to sit down, feel me out. What's this guy all about? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, they're probably going to ask about taxes, and they'll probably love my answer on that. And they'll ask, what are my thoughts on government getting involved in business? And they'll love my answer on that. But they didn't want to talk about those things when we sat down. They were very, very concerned with how strict I wanted this whole immigration enforcement thing. In fact, talking to them didn't take long to figure out my whole deport them all and don't allow any in thing might be a deal breaker for them. We're going to discuss all the different entities invested in keeping the border open in a moment. Then we'll come back to this poll and explain everything. Before we do that, let's do this, though. Let's explain this. You know, corporations get involved in the charitable world. That's part of corporations now. They'll pick some nonprofit, some charity, and they'll take the money you give them, and they'll throw it at it. You see this everywhere. Would you like to add a dollar for the whatever? You see it everywhere. Well, the money you've been sending to AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, I would actually invite you, don't take my word for it, go look at the causes they give your money to. Then go look at Pure Talk. You know what Pure Talk does? Pure Talk tackles veteran suicide. Pure Talk, their CEO is a veteran, remember. Pure Talk is busy trying to save the lives of the people who fought for this country. When you switch to Pure Talk, not only does your bill go down, not only do you get to know that you deal with American customer service people, you know you're supporting a company that shares and promotes your values. Pick up your cell phone right now. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Back to what we were talking about. Okay, so let's set aside the vile communists. They want the country full of illegals. That's been part of burning it down.
America's business interests, the GOP donor class, they also want the border open. Those GOPers in leadership everywhere, senators, the McConnell types, the Cornyn types, the Mike Johnson types, they don't want the border closed. They don't want the border closed. The media types, they want to make sure it stays open without end. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Okay, 51% of Americans support mass deportation for now. If Trump gets elected and tries, and he probably will try, if Trump gets elected and tries, the media is going to be against it. Democrats are going to be against it. The university system's going to be against it. Hollywood's going to be against it. GOP leadership is going to be against it. Judges across America are going to be against it. Over and over and over again, you will see photo op after photo op of crying Lupe and crying this guy, and we can't deport these people and whatnot. The public pressure campaign would quickly overwhelm the Trump White House, and they would cave. Even if they didn't, maybe you're sitting there saying, no, he learned his lesson this time. He won't next time. Okay, let me give you that. Let's say he doesn't cave. Let's say he tells all those groups to go pound sand. We're deporting anyway. They're going to impeach him for it. You know that, right? They can't. Really? Look at what the GOP leadership has been doing with Democrats for the last 3.5 years. The Democrats have gotten every single thing they've wanted for 3.5 years. If Donald Trump attempts to round up 10 million illegals, he will be impeached. And I would venture to guess the Senate will actually remove him from office. He would be impeached in the House and removed from office. So what I'm trying to say is this poll, 51% of Americans are for it. Well, one, that 51% would drop down to 30 as soon as all the sad videos started coming out. but two, the people who have power, not the majority, the people who have power are invested in keeping the border open. That's why we need a red state coalition. That's why we need a red state coalition to take back immigration enforcement from the federal government. All right? All right, let's do a couple emails here. Dear Mr. Kelly, no nicknames or jokes this time. I'm too upset. I just checked the primary results for Pennsylvania, and the Republicans in the 1st Congressional District voted to send Brian Fitzpatrick, a Republican who votes 60% of the time with Democrats, over Mark Houck, who was an actual target of Biden's DOJ, to the general election. As a refresher, Mark Houck was the man whose son was assaulted outside of Planned Parenthood, and then an FBI SWAT team gave him a 5 a.m. wake-up call. Primary voters sit it out once again, and we reap the consequences. I bite my thumb at you, Pennsylvania. Look, this answers, well, the next question here. Premier Jesse, I'm listening to the podcast where you're reading from the welfare farmer and how pathetic the GOP is. I think the vast majority of large right-leaning voters don't feel represented, so on and so forth. It's expected the left hates us, but realizing the right hates us too hurts a bit. I'm going to vote, but when I tell people around me, making sure you're registered and going to vote, they tell me if politicians are going to do whatever they want anyways, what difference does it make, so on and so forth. Well, we ignore the primaries. We ignore the most important elections. I'm going to confide something in you. This is just me being honest, and you're welcome to be mad at me and yell at me. At this point in time, I am so disheartened by the GOP, all of them, every single one of them. I am not 100% sure I'm going to vote in this general election. I might be a primary voter only from now on until I get a GOP that represents me. Now, don't get me wrong. I know I'll cave in the end, and I know I'll show up in the general, and I know I'll vote. But I have feelings many times now where, what am I voting for? Oh, just some abortions? An open border? More spending for Ukraine? More vaccines? Give me a reason to go vote. We don't show up in the most important elections. The most important elections are not the general election. It's not coming this November. That's not the most important election. The most important election is the primary you forgot about. The most important elections are primaries. And once again, look, this Pennsylvania one's just another example. I don't need to pick on Pennsylvania. It's across the country this way. Primary election after primary election after primary election, the GOP primary voter either doesn't show up or shows up and votes for the same scumbag who screwed him over every time. Until that changes, nothing can change. The most important election in your life is the local one and the primary one. Sit out the daggone general for all I care. If we don't change the right, we can't save ourselves from the left. All right, that's enough of that. We'll deal with debt and economic matters and things like that because there's some bad news out there. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We are almost at the end of the week, so let's tackle the true big story of the day beyond the protests and everything else. The true big story of the day is really, really bad economic news. It's really, really bad. And let's do a little basic economy thing, a little basic how it works in a country. Your economy, it has a certain size to it. In America's, ours is roughly $20 trillion. That's a gargantuan amount. That's a huge economy, but that's our economy, okay? $20 trillion. The government will take in so much per year. That's from taxes. That's the money they blood suck from you. And then they will spend a certain amount per year. If they spend more than they take in a given year, that's called a deficit. They ran a deficit for that year. Now, since our government has been running ridiculous deficits for ages, we now are in a place where our debt is astronomical. $34 trillion. $20 trillion economy, $34 trillion in debt. And we have another thing. We have many things working against us, and we're going to go over all that stuff right now. One, the entitlement spending portion of it. What this is, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Do not send me another email saying they're not entitlements. Those are really stupid emails. I understand why you send them. I understand you're not some blood-sucking freeloader because you're on Medicare. You paid into that. You paid into Social Security. I understand that. I'm not calling you a freeloading loser, but they are considered entitlements. When it is the government, whether they've taken it from you or not, if the government is handing out these things, those are entitlements. What our country has done, because we're insane, is we've taken those items off of the table in the budget process, meaning we can't touch them. They're automatic every year. Many, many countries around the planet, in fact, even European countries that we make fun of for being socialist, did you know that they will adjust their entitlement expenditures each year because they require a balanced budget? This is something socialist countries do, but not here. Here, we have firmly etched these programs in stone so they can never be touched. Okay, so that's bad. Now, when you consider the deficits, that's bad. We're borrowing money. That's bad. We're pillaging small business. That's bad. It's really bad. We're printing money. It's bad. And where does that leave us now? Well, I've played a little bit of it before. I'm going to play, well, I'll probably stop it a couple times to explain a couple things, but this was from CNBC today. I believe this was Rick Santelli.
GDP, first look, first quarter, a disappointment, 1.6%. We're looking for a number almost a full percentage point higher.
Stop for a second. What is that GDP growth thing he's talking about? Okay, so and I know a lot of this may be basic, but a lot of this stuff doesn't get taught in schools and people don't know, so we're going to explain it. $20 trillion economy. It's not supposed to ideally remain a $20 trillion economy because inflation happens, because expenditures go up. You bank on your economy growing every year, and you need it to grow when you have such a bad debt situation like we do. Like, for instance, let's make it easy. Let's say I made $100,000 a year. I make $100,000 a year. I am, well, compared to the U.S., let's do this. I'm $160,000 in debt. I make $100,000 a year. I'm $160,000 in debt. But I haven't stopped spending. I'm $160,000 in debt. Man, I've got a new Lamborghini coming next week. Diamond earrings, new guns, ammo. I just bought some jet skis. I've developed a cocaine problem. I'm spending like you can't believe. So now, it's not that the 160 is staying 160. The 160 is going to be 170 soon. It's going to be 180 soon. It's going to be 250 before you know it. Therefore, I need to up my income. I need that $100,000 to keep pace with my ridiculous spending. If my debt next year is going to be $180, then my income needs to go up at least as much as that. My income needs to be $110, $120. We need the economy to grow. We cannot have it stay flat. And frankly, when we get in this bad of a debt situation, we cannot have it grow just a little. We need big time growth. I'll let him continue.
6 of the weakest growth on a quarterly basis going back to the second quarter of 22 when it was negative, minus 0.6%. If we look at the price index, it's higher, 3.1%.
I'm going to pause on this for a moment because I need to explain something they do. The CPI, that's what he's talking about, the price index, the consumer price index, inflation.
You have to always understand something about these numbers you get out, because what happens is people get confused. They get the latest CPI numbers, the latest inflation numbers, and they'll see, well, he just referenced 3.1, so let's make it 3.1. Well, then what happens is you sit down and you send me an email and say, Jesse, I just paid $6.99 3 months ago for the chicken nuggets my kids love, and now they're $12.99. How's it only 3.1? Remember, not only has the federal government abused you, your money, your country, and your economy without end for decades, they have known for decades that you would be upset about that if you ever actually found out. So what they've done is they've built a slow, steady system of lies, and they've put that system of lies in place. So when you get reporting numbers, you know inflation's not 5%, 6%, 8%. You know it's way more than that. We just finally got the grocery numbers. They're up 40%, but they tell us inflation is at what, 8? Well, the reason is they lie. They've baked lies into all of these numbers, and even with the lies, they're bad.
We're expecting 3%. In the rearview mirror, 1.6%. Moving in the wrong direction, this comps to the third quarter of last year when it was up 3.3. If we look at the price index core on a quarter-over-quarter basis, it leaped to 3.7. We're expecting 3.4, and the rearview mirror is 2%. 3.7 is the hottest. Well, it's the hottest since the first quarter of last year. It exactly equals the second quarter of last year. And finally, wholesale inventories actually dropped -0.4%. -0.4%. That's the biggest negative month-over-month drop since June of last year. Yields, of course, paying very, very close attention to those GDP numbers. How do you spell stagflation? Weaker growth, higher price action. We're now above the resistance, which would be on a closing yield basis at 4.67.
All right, let's talk about this stagflation thing, because we have to wrap our minds around what stagflation is, and we very likely have to prepare ourselves for some rocky economic times. And we are going to get through this. I want to make sure I'm clear about this. We are going to get through this. We're going to become more family-focused, more community-focused. We're going to support each other. I got so many emails from you. You just blessed me to no end about that farmer last night who was signing up for EBT. A bunch of you reached out. No, I don't need you to reach out some more. And I've asked to hook up with him so you can maybe help. And we've facilitated that. So, look, we're going to have to be together. But we're going to talk about stagflation, what exactly that means for you, me, for all of us. Before we get to that, maybe a lot of this stuff is, it gets to be too much. No matter how simple someone breaks it down, it's too much. CPI this and whatnot. Well, yes, these things are complicated, but maybe just your T levels are low. Let me explain. Testosterone is so misunderstood. It is so misunderstood. You see, people think testosterone is just about making babies. Well, that's part of it, for sure. For sure. After all, we have an article right here. Fertility rates slumped by 2% in 2023. That's a big deal. We need T levels back up to make more babies. But testosterone is as much about your mind as anything. Getting foggy, gentlemen? Your mind, I mean? Getting foggy out there, isn't it? It's because your T levels have dipped. Start working out. Start taking a male vitality stack from Chalk. Even if it's just a walk, get moving, get some natural herbal supplements in your body, and watch how different you feel. Female vitality stack for the ladies. Don't worry, you don't have to live with the fog either. Where do you go for all this wonderfulness? You go to choq.com, chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll talk about stagflation next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Don't forget to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll come back to that important question you just asked about Mexican beer in just a second, Chris. I'm going to talk about stagflation first because it looks like that's where we're headed. And look, we're just going to... it's going to wrap our arms around this. So it is what it is. What is stagflation? It's when the economy isn't growing. It's basically slower than expected economic growth, but also inflation on top of that. You know, ideally, you wouldn't have either. In a perfect world, you want the economy growing and inflation not growing. So there are more business opportunities out there for you, more ways to make money, and your money is going as far or even further than it did last year. Okay, that's perfect. What's a bad part? What's the next level down? The next level down is you only have one of those two things. Okay, so the economy's growing. Nice, but inflation's growing too. So your money's not going as far, but you do have more business opportunities. So that's, you know, you're at least making ends meet. Yeah, my favorite meal, Red Lobster, it costs more than it used to. And I was having a hard time making ends meet, but I did pick up 10 new clients last week. So we're getting by. All right. So that's the next step down. But the bottom of the barrel step is, the worst nightmare step is, the economy stops growing, so the opportunities start to disappear, while at the same time, your dollar, the value of it, goes down. So you don't have 10 extra clients this week, and you can no longer afford your favorite meal at Red Lobster. That is stagflation. Bad economic growth and bad inflation. And that's where we are now. We know today 25% of adults, this is from AARP, 50 and older, think they will never retire. Government debt. You know, we have to pay interest on it, right? It's called servicing the debt. We have to service the debt. 12% of government spending is now servicing the debt. We will pay roughly $1.6 trillion this year on just interest, the interest on the debt. And that's if they don't raise interest rates. So it's not only that where we are is rough, where we're going is rough, because if you want to stop these things, if you want to really rein these things in, you can't do it without pain. That's not possible. But if you really want to reel these things in, what you have to do is stop spending. You have to stop printing money, and you have to stop spending money. You have to. There's no other way. You can't make debt disappear. You can't threaten it away, wish it away, promise it away. It is there. These are dollars and cents things. They're not subject to your whims or my whims. It's not a Democrat, Libertarian, Republican, Nationalist thing. It's not a Muslim, Jew, Christian thing. It is facts of life. Without reductions in spending, without stopping the quantity, stop printing money. Unless we stop that, we can't take care of this problem, and no one is even a little bit interested in stopping it. I mean, gosh.
Is $60 billion enough money for Ukraine to push back Russia decisively?
Well, we hope so. It's actually only 0.2% of our gross domestic product. So put in that context, it's not a whole lot of money for us.
This is how they think. Look, and you think that's bad? That's better than the Biden approach. I mean, does this sound like a man who's getting ready to make some hard choices with the economy?
My Investing in America agenda has attracted more than $825 billion. $825 billion in private sector investment, not a penny of which existed before I got elected. It ignited a manufacturing boom, a clean energy boom, a semiconductor boom nationwide. And it's clear we have the strongest economy in the world. And that's a fact. 15 million new jobs created in 3.5 years. Unemployment hasn't been this low for this long for 50 years. Wages are rising. Instead of importing foreign products, we're exporting and exporting American jobs. We're exporting American products and creating American jobs. Here in America, where they belong.
Do these sound like people concerned that you're never going to retire? Do these sound like people who are, as we speak, having an all hands on deck meeting, trying to figure out everything they need to cut to save you in your way of life.
And that's why we think the underlying growth remains steady, solid, strong, just like you heard from Esther George a second ago.
So you're okay with this GDP report?
Yeah, I think this GDP report, especially once you get under the hood, you take out some of those more volatile components. Consumer spending and investment look great. In fact, year over year, GDP is up 3%. That's a great number. And look, since the president got here, the average GDP growth rate has been about 3%. His GDP over his term has been the highest we've seen under a presidential term for 25 years in a row. Add in the very strong job market sure. for that, and I think you understand the underlying economy is solid as ever.
Look, we're in trouble. I'm not going to lie. We are in trouble. And we're just going to have to support each other through it all. All right? All right. We have an hour left. We're going to talk about women selling out women in women's sports. We're going to get to emails. We're going to get to so many things. Before we get to those things, in an economy like this, it is nice to know you still have companies like MyPillow you can fall back on when you have needs. MyPillow keeps their prices low. Not only do they keep their prices low, they're delivering the best quality, and they're always finding a way to come up with some kind of new sale to get you an even better deal on things. MyPillow's doing a sale right now that I've never seen before, ever. And I've been partners with MyPillow for a few years now. They have a $25 extravaganza sale. Endless items on their website are $25. You've been wanting MyPillow stuff, but you've been waiting. I can't afford it. Times are tough. Take advantage when they do these blowout sales, man. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
This is an iHeart podcast.